In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Knox. Appreciate it. All right. So, kids, because there are more of you in here than normal today, I've got a couple things for you to listen for. And you can jot these down on your children's bulletin or on any of those many colorful sheets that you have. First is I want you to listen for an illustration about Home Alone. I'll give you a warning, it's coming pretty early. And then I want you to listen for reasons why you don't need to be afraid of the dark. Okay? Reasons why you don't need to be afraid of the dark. So with that, let me pray for us as we look at these five verses together. Oh, Father, we ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray, Lord, that you would draw near to us now by your Spirit, that you would enable us to see the beauty and the glory of this passage, but that it wouldn't stop there, but that we would see the beauty and the glory of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So one of my top three favorite Christmas movies is Home Alone. The other two are Elf and A Christmas Story, of course. But Home Alone is a great one for us right now because our boys are about the age of Kevin. And so everything that's happening in that movie, it hits home a little more and is appreciated a bit more. So kids, I want you to recall about midway through the movie, the two thieves. Remember their names? Harry and Marv. Wow, way to go, Jack. Okay. Didn't think anybody was going to get that one. So what happens here is Harry and Marv realize that Kevin is home alone. And so they begin plotting as to when they're going to come back to rob this house. And so Harry says, "We'll come back tonight when it's dark." And Marv says, "Yeah, kids are scared of the dark." And Harry says, "You're afraid of the dark too, Marv. You know you are." Marv says, "No, I'm not." Harry says, "Yes, you are. Not, not, not." And of course, Harry is right, right? That there is something that's scary about the dark, even when we don't want to admit it. And so for me personally, as I was thinking about this, I remember many late nights camping with my cousins at Watkins Mill in Missouri, where we would stay up really, really late trying to convince ourselves and each other that we were not afraid of the dark, when of course everybody there is afraid of the dark. And so of course, as everyone knows, grown up and kid alike, there's something scary about the dark. And what's interesting is that the Bible uses this image of darkness quite frequently as well. And most of the time, it's a bad thing. Here are some examples. Darkness is actually one of the plagues that the Lord sends on Egypt when Pharaoh won't let God's people out of slavery. There's this theme of darkness and the language of darkness over and over again in Job, this man who suffered more than anybody else in the Bible except for Jesus himself. Isaiah says this. He describes the people's rebellion against God as darkness. And so he says, "The people walked in darkness. They've dwelt in a land of great darkness." So then fast forward to the New Testament. With the way Matthew talks about people being outside of the presence of God is being cast into the outer darkness. And then John, the author of this gospel that we're looking at this afternoon, constantly talks about darkness as this sort of sinful, willful inability to see God. This rebellion against him. So darkness in general, when we see it in the Bible, is not a good thing. And that makes sense to us too, because that's the kind of language we use to describe the dark places in our own hearts. Those ugly, sinful, broken, painful parts in our own lives. So think for a moment about the way that we talk about our darkness within. Think about the different things that we could describe as dark within us. The hatred that we harbor. Those lusts that we indulge in. The fantasies that we inhabit. The anger that we stoke. The addictions that we're enslaved to. Those are the dark corners of our hearts that we don't want any light being shown into. Or it could be that the way that you would describe the darkness within you has more to do with the sense of anxiety and even depression. So that what it feels like is as though there's this shadow that's kind of cast over the whole of your life where everything is twinged with this darkness. Or it could be this, that your experience of darkness is the absence of God. Where what God feels like to you is one who is distant, even detached and uninvolved in your life. There was a Spanish mystic in the 15th century, his name was St. John of the Cross. The way he described that feeling of God being absent, is as a dark night of the soul. So there's this darkness within us. There's also a darkness that's very profound outside of us as well. There's divorce, there's death, there's miscarriage, there's cancer, there's joblessness, there's strained family relationships. And if we're honest, it's oftentimes that it's this time of year, even in these couple of days in particular, where we feel that darkness most acutely. Where that darkness feels overwhelming and it feels as though it's pressing in on us. And it may be that there are other times where we try to overcome that darkness, but we fail to do it. This time of year, what we try to do is ignore it or forget it and push it away. And the reality is, as we know, that you can't buy enough stuff or drink enough eggnog to have that darkness go away from you. And so here's the question we bring to Christmas. Will the darkness win? Will the darkness win? Because oftentimes it feels like it might. So here's the answer of John in this passage. Here's the answer of Christmas. It's a resounding no. The darkness will not win. It's actually into that darkness, into our darkness, that Christ, this true light, has come. So here's what John says later in this first chapter, verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And then in chapter 8 of his gospel, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So here's how Tim Keller puts it. The message of Christianity is, things really are this dark. Nevertheless, there is hope. The Christmas message is that on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And so on this Christmas day, we're actually beginning the study of the Gospel of John. It's going to take us probably through August. And so what we're doing is we're calling it, That You May Have Life. And that comes from John's purpose statement in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Here's what John says this gospel is all about. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And so here's the question we'll ask each week of every passage that we look at in this gospel. How does Jesus give us life? And today, we'll answer it this way. Jesus gives us life by shining light into our darkness. By shining light into our darkness. And so, in these first five verses that we're going to take a brief look at, these verses tell us some about who this light is, and also why we can actually be confident that the light wins in the end, and that the darkness is defeated. So kids, here's the first of those three reasons, okay? Three reasons why you don't have to be afraid of the dark, all right? You don't have to be afraid of the dark because first, Jesus shows us who God really is. He shows us who God really is. Look at verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So John describes Jesus here as the Word, and that little phrase, that word, means a whole lot of things to a lot of different people. So to John's Jewish audience who would have been hearing this, they would have immediately thought of creation, where in the beginning, God spoke the world into existence. They probably also would have thought of the book of Proverbs. There's a good section of Proverbs that talks about wisdom as if wisdom were a person. So that also would have come to mind. But there's this other group of John's audience who would have been the Greeks of the day and even the philosophers of the day. And when they hear the word logos, which is the word for word, their minds sort of go into 4D here. Because that word means so much to them. This was sort of the first principle of all knowledge. This is where we get the word logic from. So philosophers perk up when they hear that the word is present. So this means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What we know, though, as we read on in John's gospel, is that Jesus, this word, is not a principle, but he's a person. And so this person, this word, John says, was there before creation with God in this eternal, intimate relationship. But then he goes on to say something more. He says that this word actually is God himself. So here's what that means for us. I know this is something that we hear often, but it's an incredibly profound statement that John's making here. It means that the word Jesus reveals to us who God is. And so when you think about it, that's what a word does. When you speak, it reveals something of who you are. The author of Hebrews says it this way, that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And so you ask the question, you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Look to him, this word. Christmas shows us who God really is. Here's why this is important. It's incredibly important when we start talking about our own experience of darkness. Why? Because when you're in the midst of that profound sense of darkness, it becomes incredibly difficult to see who God really is. It's in those moments of that darkness and even blindness that we begin believing false things and inaccurate things about who God is. Here's the form it usually takes for us. In the midst of our darkness, we're tempted to believe that God is distant, that he's far off, that he's indifferent to us, that he's not at all near to us, then actually the opposite is true, that he's away from us in our darkness. Christmas reminds us that we couldn't be more wrong about that. Christmas says that the kind of God that we have, the God of the Bible, is not a God who is distant from the darkness, but instead is a God who enters into the darkness. This darkness that is due to our sin, that is spread over the whole of his creation. He enters into that darkness in order to push back that darkness. So that the kind of God we have is the kind of God who draws near to his people in their darkness, who takes on flesh and lives among them, who's tempted in every way yet remains without sin. One who, in the words of this hymn that we love to sing, comes to earth to taste our sadness. So here's how one pastor puts this. Christmas is God's yes to the question, does God want anything to do with my messy life? This is who God is, and we know this because the Word has become flesh. So that's the first reason that we don't need to be afraid of the dark. Here's the second. You don't have to be afraid of the dark because Jesus is in control of all things. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So John says the same thing twice. You see that? He says, all things were made through him. And just in case you go, yeah, but like maybe was there like one thing that wasn't made by him? No, he says. There's nothing that Jesus didn't make. In other words, he himself is the creator. And as creator, he has control over all things. So Paul says this in Colossians 1. For by him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So what does this say to us in the midst of our darkness? Why is this so important in our darkness? It's important because when we feel overcome by darkness, it feels as though everything is out of control. Because we feel powerless, we feel scattered, we feel like things are unknown, we feel helpless. And so the temptation is to think that must be the case for God as well. That he's overwhelmed and powerless in the face of this darkness. Or worse, he himself has been overpowered by the darkness. What Christmas reminds us of is that that is not true. What Christmas tells us is that he has complete control over all things now because Jesus, the Word, is the creator and sustainer of all things. But here, it's not just that Jesus shows us who God is, nor is it just that he's in control of all things that's actually going to bring this full and this final comfort to us, this assurance that darkness won't win. So thirdly, finally, you don't have to be afraid of the dark because Jesus is our life and light. He's our life and light. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So here's what John means when he says that. He's saying that what Jesus has come to reveal, and not just to reveal, but to share, to invite you into with those who would believe in him, is the very life of God himself. And so this is the life that every human being was created to enjoy. But in our sin, we have rejected. What Jesus does is he comes on the scene and he invites you back into this life that you have willfully rejected. This very life of God himself. And it's that life, he says, that is the light of men. Verse 5 says this most clearly. This light, he says, shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so this is, of course, the very beginning of John's gospel. And what we're celebrating today on Christmas is the birth of Jesus. But we know the end of this story as well, and that there would come a day 33 years later when this light would overcome darkness in a way that nobody could imagine at this point. There would come a day when Jesus, the light of the world, would actually experience the darkest of all darkness. A kind of darkness that was no ordinary darkness. In the other Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they're describing the crucifixion, on that Friday, it says this: there was darkness at noon over all the land. And that's not just the kind of darkness that we feel. This isn't the sun going behind the clouds. This is actually the full darkness of all of the sin and the evil of a world that has rebelled against its creator. It's the darkness of your sin and my sin that deserves this judgment that instead this son has stepped into. See, this true light that we're talking about has experienced true darkness. But, that darkness has not overcome it. Because 3 days later, that light would burst forth into this darkness in the resurrection of Jesus. And it's that resurrection that is the guarantee that your darkness that you experience now will not win in the end. It's the guarantee that the light will win in the end. So the darkness of your sin, the darkness of your sorrow, the darkness of your shame is actually in the end going to be cast away by the light of Jesus. There's a really interesting phrase that is at the end of all that John has written. This same apostle who wrote the gospel and wrote these three letters and then wrote Revelation, the last book of the Bible. He describes in Revelation 21 the new heavens and the new earth. He describes the new Jerusalem, which is the city that comes down from heaven, he says. And when he's describing this city, here's what he says in verse 23 of chapter 21. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And as we know, John also all the time describes Jesus as the Lamb of God. So what does this say to us in our darkness? Here's what it says to us in our darkness. No matter how great your darkness seems, if you have put your faith in this King, then that darkness will not win in the end. Jesus has actually come into your darkness in order to vanquish that darkness, to remove it completely, to do away with it. And so, Christmas means that you don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore. That is the message for you today. Why can you be so sure of that? because the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we rejoice that you have sent your Son Jesus, the true light of the world, into the darkness of our world, and that that light will overcome our darkness and the darkness of this world in the end. We praise you. We thank you for this gift. We celebrate him today. Amen.